Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bombing with Eric Andre, the podcast where I talk to comedians, musicians, personalities, and more about their most uh-oh moments in front of an audience. Today is one of my favorite episodes because I got to talk to the iconic prankster and comic Steve-O, and he did not disappoint. I worked with him on Jackass Forever, and man, this guy has stories to tell. Steve-O will be part of the Impractical Jokers and Eric Andre Get Shit-Faced Cruise this upcoming January. You know the deal. We publish new episodes every week. Rate us 5 stars and check out Big Money Players Diamond on Apple Podcasts to get exclusive weekly bonus content plus ad-free episodes. I don't think I need to say any more. You want to listen to this one, so let's just get into it.
Bombing
with Eric Andre.
Do you have a fun way that you start?
No. I kind of like starting without even... Oh, you want some bomb and circumstance?
And we are back with my main man, Steve.
Back from what? Where were we? So how many episodes of this have you done?
I don't know. I think we're like at the halfway point, a little more than half.
So you're on the podcast bandwagon.
I love talking to comedians and musicians and performers about their worst bomb, like hearing the horror stories, because everyone has them. No matter who you could be, whatever. Madonna has bombing stories. You know what I mean? Prince opened up for the Rolling Stones in the late 70s, early 80s, and people threw bottles at him. You know what I mean? So everybody has a great bombing story, and it's like that brings me so much joy. It doesn't feel like work.
I can vouch for the veracity of that sentiment because of how tickled you were by my Wu-Tang story.
I mean, it's kind of. Can we repeat it on here? Can we give people? Yeah.
Because I heard that story from like another comedian. Then I heard it from you. Then I like that story. I heard through different.
I
almost brought it up. I saw Ghostface and Raekwon at South by Southwest 5 years ago, and I was like so like it was the first time I ever saw them live and everything. Well, actually, I saw Wu-Tang live, but I never saw just them live, and I almost brought it. It was like in the back of my mind.
I don't think anybody would have been particularly offended to have brought it up. I know that I on my podcast I spoke to Method Man about it. We had Method Man on.
Nice.
We had RZA on.
Nice.
And I repeatedly requested to have Raekwon on, and he politely declined.
Do you want to tell the audience the story?
It's one of those stories that at this point I wonder if everybody doesn't just already know it. But the year was 2006. I believe it was during the summer, before Jackass number 2 came out.
Uh-huh. Jermaine told me this. He goes, when Jackass 1 came out, we didn't really know if we were ever going to have a job again. And then when Jackass 1 was so successful, He goes, watch Jackass 2 again. Everybody, like, wants to die. He goes, they're going so hard. You guys are going so hard for 2 that he was like, everyone was, like, near death every stunt and prank and stuff like that. So he's like, for the energy going into Jackass 2, he said, was insane. So.
Jackass number 2 was the heyday, man. It was the heyday. We were, like, it wasn't like, oh, these guys are, like, too old. It's creepy. Like, we were still kind of under the bar for our age, like the substance abuse hadn't really reared its ugly head and turned on us yet. Everything just worked. It was like there was a magic spell cast over that movie.
Yeah.
Everything just works fantastically well. I'm guessing that at the time of this Wu-Tang incident, we had wrapped filming for Jackass number 2. So just morale was really high, like confidence was through the roof.
You filmed it, but it hadn't come out yet.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. I had a relationship with Method Man because we had him on Wild Boys.
Right. You already burned the little South African hut down to the ground at that point?
Yeah. We burned the three cabins down to the ground at the resort in South Africa while filming the pilot for Wild Boys. I thought that the Wild Boys would never come out and that we would just be mired in lawsuits, completely broke for the rest of our lives and canceled, and none of that happened.
Oh, shit.
So with Method, and there was another incident where it wasn't an incident. It was a cool thing. I met up with Method Man in, I think, 2005. And like he was in town for the BET Awards, and there's something like I wanted to film with them, like for this project I was working on. He agreed to come have me over to his hotel. In his hotel room, he lit a blunt and threw it across the room, and I caught it in my mouth, but I caught it backwards, so it burned my lip. And then we were laughing about how it looked like I had herpes, but. When I showed up at that hotel, Dave Chappelle was outside, and, you know, and I met Dave Chappelle. And I said, I told him, man, I think my life might be in danger because I went into the G-Unit studios and I took on all their beef and I was hurling insults and threats and like really saying awful things about scary gangster rapper people. And then I took it even further and Dave Chappelle said, "Oh no!" He said, "No, you're Jackass, man. You're Steve-O. Yeah. You got diplomatic immunity." And I love that. I've always loved that so much. I've got diplomatic immunity. But in any case, I had a relationship with Method Man, and the festival, it was called Rock the Bells.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang was headlining it.
Yeah.
Cypress Hill played it. There was like there was really like a Lollapalooza of hip hop.
Yeah, it's still going.
I showed up. I'm drinking all day. I'm just belligerent.
What was your drink of choice? Tequila.
Vodka Red Bull. I want to say it was my go-to.
Every 2006. Got a chance.
So I'm all excited, you know. They're gonna have a portion of the show where they pay respect to Old Dirty Bastard,
right?
And I'm like,
he died around that time, right?
He died in 2004, I believe.
Right. So it's fresh. The wounds are fresh.
Right, and I'd been doing backflips for the longest time.
Yeah.
But I had just combined two of my trademark tricks, one being the standing backflip, the other being called a double back, where I would aggressively flip my wiener and my ball sack back and forth violently and back and forth and back and forth. And then on the backswing, I would jump up, part my legs, and then clamp it. So I would, with no hands, I would thrust myself into a mangina position.
Oh, amazing.
Fully tucked like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. And then once in the mangina position, fully tucked, then I would do a backflip.
Mm-hmm.
It was called a double back backflip. The reason it was called a double back because you had both your wiener and your balls in the back.
Right.
Also known as a back burger. So... So it was a big deal too, because the first time I ever did a standing backflip with myself tucked, like there was a legitimate fear that I might just rip my junk off,
right,
you know?
Right.
But I got away with it. I pulled it, and I just had this new trick in my back pocket.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, this is great. During the Wu-Tang performance, I'm going to get totally naked, flip my balls and wiener back and forth, catch it in a mangina. And this is going to be like a great way.
Were they like, Steve-O, you're going to come out during Wu-Tang at a specific time?
Or did you
make this up in your head and you were like, I'm going to like just bomb the stage and just run
on stage? It wasn't a bomb the stage situation. And they had people just all over the stage the whole time. It was crazy. But there was a distinct point in the show where it was like the tribute to ODB part. They had ODB's mom on the stage.
It was a sentimental part.
Yeah. And it was orchestrated to a point. It was understood that I would be there. So when it happens, Method Man hands me the microphone, and I go on this drunken diatribe about how I was locked up in the Twin Tower jail.
Yeah.
In protective custody, and they said I was in ODB's cell, so I was practically cellmates with ODB.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna honor and respect him, and I get butt naked. I do my trick as planned.
Yeah.
And it was arguably the cleanest.
You did the flip.
Yeah, the most well executed double back flip of my life.
Wow.
And it was tough to really execute one perfectly.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're tucked like that, you can't quite, you know.
Right.
It's a little bit like trying to do a back flip with your hands behind your back, you know. But
right.
But I pulled it well. And then they went into Shimmy Yaw, and it's like everyone's just, everyone's just great vibes. And
yeah.
I think it was about halfway through where Raekwon finally, it was bothering him too much. He just stopped everything.
This is on stage.
Oh, all on stage, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bumping, I'm bouncing, I'm loving it.
Time of your life.
I just feel like I'm like the best moment ever. And then it's like the needle scratch, you know, like, whoa. Everything stops. Raekwon grabs me by my neck.
Oh, my Lord.
Grabs me by my neck and, like, just drags me to the front of the stage by my neck. And he's like,
and I'm going to tell you right now, in front of all these people, you're going to apologize or I'm going to knock you out in front of all these people. I'm not playing. Straight up, that was disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to fuck you up. So you better apologize right now.
Did the crowd think you guys were doing a sketch or something?
It was pretty evident that was not a sketch, and it was. I apologized quickly and profusely.
Really?
And I did even qualify. I said I meant no disrespect. I'm here because I love ODB.
And then what did he say?
He said, now you're going to apologize to ODB's mom too. Like, that's not good enough. Now you got to apologize to. Miss Cherry.
Okay.
And I apologized to Miss Cherry. And then I was told that it would be best if I left. they made it very clear that I was not safe.
You had no diplomatic immunity.
Chappelle
led you astray.
He did. But one could categorize that whole performance as a bomb.
Yes. I mean... In a way, though, you did the best double backflip.
That's true.
It's not a bomb.
Right.
That was a great success.
And I've never, to my knowledge, encountered Raekwon ever since then. But
he died shortly after that.
I think it's well understood that I take no pleasure in having offended him, or you know, like I just don't.
I think it's about intention and intent. All the karmic value of your actions is defined by intent.
Right.
So I think you genuinely meant that as a tribute.
Yeah.
And you genuinely loved ODB.
I did.
But maybe in the eye of the beholder that is Raekwon.
Right.
He didn't view it the same way.
Yeah, and Method Man, Method Man went on to, he said, you know, I didn't really think, consider with, like, with his mom there and, you know, like, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe it is, like, it is the...
It's a touchy, especially with the mom. It's a touchy. Yeah, it's a hard thing, too.
So Raekwon was right.
Yeah, I mean...
in hindsight,
yeah,
I was wrong.
It might not be a right versus wrong kind of thing. It might be like a... it was like every country has its own customs and a way of grieving.
Yeah, and pretty much every country has a problem with illegal narcotics.
With Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Eric Andre.
What's the worst bomb? And it can, you can include not just stand up, but Jackass Live, even circus days, like early Ringling Brothers,
right?
Kind of
getting into stand up.
Yeah.
It was this, that same summer, the first time.
That was a rough summer for you. that was a shaky summer.
Yeah, that same summer, I was asked to perform a stunt at the Laugh Factory, the world famous Laugh Factory,
right,
on the Sunset Strip,
right,
in West Hollywood.
Right.
And I agreed to show up. I did show up, but I didn't give any thought as to what my stunt in this comedy club would be.
Right.
I showed up. I was, of course, loaded. I was always loaded. And when I walked.
In those days, would you get wasted every day or just,
pretty,
like,
I mean,
just a weekend warrior?
Oh, God, no, every day.
But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It was a period when I was not, I was abstaining from cocaine. Like, cocaine had presented as an issue. And I remember,
what was the issue? You liked just sniffing a lot of it?
Yeah, the issue was that I lived my life awake for 2 to 3 days. It was like 3 days on, 1 day off.
Uh-huh.
Then 3 days on,
uh-huh,
1 day off. And this,
like, no sleep.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not sustainable.
Well, no, I did sustain it for years. And
you would live like that for years?
Pretty,
of, like, sleeping
pretty,
only, like,
pretty much
sleeping only a couple nights out of the week.
Yeah, it was gnarly. It was really gnarly. And and whenever something that I was really obligated to do would land at an unfortunate time when it was
when
the day,
when it was like the cocaine off night.
Yeah, yeah. when I was hibernating.
So the cocaine schedule came first, and then everything else had to fall, link into the cocaine schedule.
Right. That's when I really knew I had a problem, when it was like, oh, you know, somebody's getting married, and or like, oh, there's something that I really, really have to be there. And I would think, man, I hope that doesn't, you know, land a
on the hibernation day.
Yeah. And
that's really funny.
The way that I would meet my obligations would just be to do more drugs. Uh-huh, you know, uh-huh. Like there was no such thing as like, oh, I better, you know.
Maybe I need to calm down this week.
There was no such thing as truncating a bender, but there was absolutely such a thing as extending the bender.
Yeah, it's the only viable solution.
Right, and I was very professional in that regard.
Uh huh. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So great. I wouldn't, like, I really never didn't show up for professional obligations or anything really important for that matter. I just could not speak to what shape I would be in when I did show up. But when we went into filming Jackass number 2, recognizing that that really was a problem and that I was showing up, and you know, it started to feel like Boogie Nights when Mark Wahlberg shows up and he's ready. And Jeff Tremaine did take on that Burt Reynolds role of like, I'm not shooting you in this condition, you know, like, but I'm ready now, you know, like, and that whole Boogie Nights dynamic of me being on drugs was problematic. And going into filming Jackass number 2, I pledged that I, for the whole filming of Jackass number 2, that I was not going to do cocaine. And I somehow honored that.
Really?
Did you drink
during it?
Yes. and that was the problem, is that the problem was that because I didn't have the cocaine, I just got so much drunker. And I started presenting as an angry drunk.
Oh no!
Yeah, like after
there was a balance of the cocaine where like
right the whole like, balance was off. Cards. The balance went out the window, and I would this was when I was getting into rapping too. So like if I had like a new rap song, you know, it would be like, everybody come to my room and listen to my rap. But if anybody like said anything while I was trying to play my rap song, then I would just throw gnarly temper tantrum and throw them out. Like women, I would bring women back to the hotel room. But if they tiptoed out of line, I got out of here.
Oh my God.
Yeah, people could hear me throwing chicks out of my room from like far down the hall.
That was better than the cocaine version of you? That seems like...
Right.
Seems like equal.
There was no good version. Yeah. Yeah, there was no good version. But I made it for I believe over a year without doing any cocaine.
Wow.
And this first time at the Laugh Factory was during that period. So I walked into the comedy club and just kind of looked around and saw the person performing stand up on stage.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd ever even been to a comedy club before that. And I thought, ooh, it struck me that there's no crazier stunt that I could possibly perform than to get on that stage and try doing stand-up. Like, that just terrified. That was like, nothing could be scarier. And I was like, oh, man, I'm gnarly, man. I'm crazy. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that it works at the Laugh Factory, everybody does like a 10 or 15-minute set.
Yeah.
And I'm like way down the list.
Right.
So I've shown up and now I'm just sitting around waiting for my turn.
Yeah.
And as I'm waiting, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh my God, it's just, I'm gripped by fear. I'm like, oh my God, like if I'm just going to try and say something to make people laugh, like what am I going to say? Like, and I came up with a joke.
Yeah.
Only one.
Yeah.
And you know, when it was my turn, I got on stage and I said, hey everybody, I am in the mood for a blowjob. Does anybody want one? And I got a laugh.
Nice.
You know, it was great, man. And my overall sense was that when they introduced me, people knew who it was. They were excited to see me, and they were there to have a good time. They were excited to see me, and they were rooting for me. Everybody wants to have a good time. So like the energy was was in my favor. Yeah. It was on my side. Yeah. Now, that energy will turn very quickly if you don't deliver them entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But I got that first laugh, and then I basically just got out of there.
Oh,
could not have been on that stage for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I did that the other night.
Get the hell out of there. You know, excitement, cool, one laugh, and gone. And it was such a favorable experience that before I left the building, I scheduled my return. And before my return, I actually hunkered down with like a case of Whippets and a huge bottle of vodka. And I wrote out a set. And I wrote out like a 10-minute set.
Oh, shit.
And I had bullet points. I was like, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. And mm-hmm. it was like, and I framed it as how to make it in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how to make it in the entertainment industry. And it was like, well, you gotta do drugs.
Yeah.
Like you gotta have sex. Yeah. You know, like, and it was, I had like jokes built into it that worked reasonably well. I remember like when I went to go perform this 10 minutes, I brought a videographer to film it. And one of my biggest regrets in life was that even at that time, in the shape I was in, like I regret the fact that I filmed that 10-minute performance, put it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that's it. It's done. I put it out there, and then I'm retiring that material.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Because, like I said, it went reasonably well.
Yeah, but
and if I were to have kept working on that material, it would have gone maybe a little better the next time. Like,
I see. You filmed it too.
I just
filmed it before it developed, before the food ripened.
I didn't develop it.
Yeah. That's okay though. You could go back and later.
Well, right. I mean, it wasn't the time. But the problem was that I got a lot of confidence on that one because I prepared a little bit. And, mm-hmm. You know, like I just thought, oh man, I'm good at this.
Yeah,
I'm good at this. So I plan to go back a third time.
Yeah, Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the third time I went back, I just felt that I was good at it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna retell any jokes, but I didn't write any new ones. So when I went that third time, I had that first experience with like really catastrophically bombing.
Yeah.
There I was on stage, and I seemed to. There was no video camera this time. I believe that Steve Irwin had just passed away. I was like, oh, well, I was trying to like riff on the passing of Steve Irwin, which wasn't particularly funny. you know, I just didn't have anything, and it didn't go well.
Have you ever bombed so hard that you got booed, or anybody threw something at you, or any fights on stage, or?
I was attacked one time,
really?
While performing way back in the day.
Somebody attacked you?
Yes.
Why? For why?
Just for no reason. It was New Year's Eve when 2003 turned into 2004. Calgary, and some guy just got on stage and just sucker punched me while I was performing
for no reason,
none that I'm aware
Whoa.
Of.
Yeah. Did he get arrested? Did you fight back?
He
did
got
you...
beaten up.
Oh, really? By who? By the security?
He got beaten up by a number of people. I think a number of people descended on him and kind of beat him up in the fray as he was, you know, held down Preston Lacey, who was performing on stage with me, sort of grated off his forehead with his microphone. It's one of those microphones that's like with the metal mesh,
and so
it kind of operates like a cheese grater if you really take it to someone's forehead.
It's like Jigsaw from a Saw movie.
Yeah, and I remember there was some grating going on with the microphone and some beating up going on. And as they carried this guy off the stage, they carried him kind of by arms and legs, sort of, you know, they carried him by, I hauled off and kicked him, you know, like it was a little extra. That one, that kick was not necessary. and it actually made me, the whole thing, like everybody was wrong, like to a point of criminal offense.
Okay.
And we were made aware that the cops were coming.
Oh no.
And the show was over. We ran. We ran from the
did
stage.
We got out of there.
We ran away. We got away. And then in 2011, 7 years later, now I'm in Calgary again to perform stand up at the comedy club in Calgary, and I'm on the morning news to promote my comedy club appearances. Uh-huh. And the morning news anchor asked me, had I ever been to Calgary? I said, yeah, mm-hmm. I did. We beat up this guy.
Oh, no.
we ran from the cops, and it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then as I attempted to leave Calgary after that weekend, that he showed my passport to the customs guy.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, yeah, this is great. You're going into this room.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Go on into this room.
Oh, fuck.
And I didn't put it all together, so I went into the room, and then these police came into the room, and they were like, oh, well, yeah, you've got this, we found this warrant on you, you know?
Oh,
I drew enough attention to it on the news.
Oh, no.
That I was afforded the opportunity to make it right.
No.
And lucky for Preston Lacey, he too was afforded the opportunity to make it right.
Oh, no. He was with you again?
He was not with me again, but he was dragged into it.
Oh, no.
Because it all bubbled to the surface.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Preston can rest easy at night knowing that
you provided an opportunity for him to make things right in Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was great. Preston was profoundly grateful.
Oh, I'm sure he's found.
Yeah. But
did you get arrested?
Yeah, yeah. I spent like 11 hours in a holding tank that day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I was in a holding tank. And I remember, I mean, I got sober in 2008, and this was 2011.
Oh, so you're sober.
So I was sober for like 3 years.
Okay.
And I remember as I sat in that, sitting in that holding cell, like they were parading, you know, different other offenders, back and forth, and they were just guys who were just like covered in blood. And
oh
just,
my
like,
god!
Really, like every there was one common denominator. Everybody seemed to be highly intoxicated. And I remember sitting in that cell for like 11 hours, and each person that was paraded past my cell just made me more grateful than the last for my sobriety.
Yeah.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Eric Andre.
They're looking at me because I have to go. God, I could talk to you for fucking ever.
We got to wrap it up already?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
Well.
Time flies, man. I love you, dude.
I love you too, buddy.
Yeah.
I
deeply love you.
I deeply love you too.
Yeah.
Dare I say I'm in love with you? What do you think about
dude,
that?
Check this out. Now my tour, isn't like all the chaos happening on stage. The bar is so high now.
Right.
That I take care of the insanity. The bar has to keep going higher and higher. So now it's legitimately life threatening stuff.
Oh no! Don't.
And I've got.
Don't leave us.
I've just taped my new comedy special for my show, The Bucket List.
Okay.
And it is triple X rated. This whole tour. No kids allowed because that's illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm ejaculating.
Oh, really?
On camera.
Amazing.
Yeah. Not only did I...
Wait, skydiving?
Yeah. Skydiving, skyjacking is finally going to come out with
my
special.
How could you maintain an erection while skydiving?
I brought a DVD player, a portable DVD player.
With pornography on it?
And then for breakfast, I ate 4 erectile dysfunction tablets.
Really?
So getting a boner was not going to
be... Greg, it's not so psychoactive.
Right.
It's boner active.
And dude, I had to be in consultation with my recovery community because of the general anesthesia stunt where we got a medical professional in disguise to administer stolen general anesthesia drugs into an IV in my arm while I was hauling ass on a fucking bicycle, baby.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? They knocked you out while you were biking?
Yeah, that's a gimme. Hit me with the general anesthesia, and and I'm gonna write. And then,
who is this sketchy anesthesiologist that could have killed you
in disguise? And that's not even as sketchy as the epidural foot race. The epidural is a 4-inch needle in your spinal cavity.
Oish.
They inject a drug into your spine.
For what?
To render you paralyzed.
Oh, my Lord.
And
Who is this sketchy doc? Where were you, Bangladesh? No,
I met the doctor at one of my shows.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was like, dude, I got an anesthesia thing for you. And I was like, that sounds
cool. Oh, you got to hook me up with this doctor. When I hear that, I'm like... Do they have medical grade nitrous oxide?
Yeah, so dude, that's where the level for the stunts are at.
You're wild.
I really spent my time. I toured the comedy club circuit for 11 years, developing the craft, and got it to a place where I'm, I belong on that stage now.
Yeah,
and,
it really and takes I've a got, decade.
All of my worlds have converged into this multimedia, crazier than ever. Live comedy show, and I'm so excited for the world to see.
Oh, amazing. Fuck yeah.
The bucket list.
Any other bombs you saw that didn't involve you that you just were that you just witnessed as an audience member? Any, if you saw Willie Nelson fall off the stage or something, for example, or you just saw fucking, Tom Jones just eat it on set. Anything like that come up, or anything where this is the worst stunt, this is the stunt I regret the most, which I know you have a list for. Somebody set themselves on fire and fucked up.
I mean, I set myself on fire for
you fucked up
for the closer
fire angel.
The fire angel was the closer of my last comedy special
to come out,
which is called Gnarly.
Yeah,
and Gnarly is just sitting on my website. You hit play and it just plays for free.
That's it.
Stevo.com. And say I can't put my stuff on YouTube Because it's like it's
it gets taken down.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would
get banned.
In serious trouble. Oh, yeah, shit. Like so I've got these like highly explicit, like too hot for YouTube, too hot for like anything.
Didn't you get arrested for stapling your balls or something?
Yeah.
What happened?
That was in Louisiana.
What happened?
On my Don't Try This at Home tour.
Oh, no.
The bottle of tequila was sitting there on the stage.
Yeah.
And I was covered in blood.
God.
I was stapling my balls to my leg. At the point when I stapled my balls to my leg, the footage reflected me saying, "This is not art." This is strictly to be offensive.
Oh, no.
Now, I don't know why I would say that, because it was definitely art.
Okay.
Zero question that it was art. But that qualified the stapling as felony obscenity by some standards.
Oh, so no. Somebody, why would you say that?
Somebody opined that that was felony obscenity.
Oh, no.
And the reason it came to light was because... The kids, like, as per usual, people climbing on the stage, someone grabbed the tequila bottle off the stage.
Uh-huh.
And when they did that, the security, which was these college football players, they just zipped in and they neutralized. They got the bottle back, and I was impressed by the security.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, these security guards are good.
Yeah.
Who wants to get on stage and try to run across the stage past the bouncers? We'll call this one British Bulldog.
Oh, no.
Who wants to play some British Bulldog? And, like, this kid jumping up and down was just the most noticeable kid. Like, yeah. And I was like, you're it.
Yeah.
You know, like, how am I not going to let this kid? He's so excited. So the kid gets on stage, and I go, 1, 2, 3, go. He runs. The kid didn't weigh anything. These two huge football player guys just grabbed him.
Yeah.
And it was anticlimactic. So the bouncers took it upon themselves, after grabbing the kid, to together they hoisted him up above their heads and slammed him on the stage, on his head. And I seem to recall that the kid was knocked out, twitching, maybe bleeding from an ear.
Oh, no.
And on the mic, I said, "That kid's being loaded into an ambulance. Is that what we came here to see?"
Oh, no. This in Louisiana?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I continued. And then I said, like, "Who wants to play another round of British Bulldog?"
Oh, my God.
So it was bad. And somebody in the audience had been recording it on a video camera.
This is the same night you stapled your balls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I stapled my balls every night. but the person who recorded, nothing came. I remember we went, that was in Louisiana, we went to Alabama the next night, and I remember thinking, ooh, yeah, that was pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Somebody, like, reviewing their video, they were like, you know what, this feels a little bit kind of weird. Maybe I'll send this to the newspaper.
Oh,
so
no.
They sent their videotape to the newspaper. The newspaper watched it, and they said, this doesn't feel like as much of a news story as a crime.
Okay.
So they sent it to the police, and then within a couple of weeks, they filed charges and a warrant. And it was fascinating because I was charged with two crimes. One was principal to second degree battery, which was a felony.
Oh no!
But for orchestrating this battery on this kid.
Yeah.
And for the battery charge specifically, they set the bail at I think $120,000. But for the second charge, which was felony obscenity, they set the bail at $1 million.
No.
So yeah, the $1 million staple. So, given that my the price associated with my warrant was $1.12 million,
mm-hmm.
when the fugitive warrant, like, because I was back in California by that point,
mm-hmm.
and when I showed up on the fugitive radar, like, I think I was like top 10. You know, like most wanted, like I was like a big priority.
Oh shit!
And so they came in. They caught me on an off day.
No. On a hibernation day.
I was hibernating. I was hibernating, and my roommate, he was like, "Hey, yo, Steve, man, you got to get up, man. This is important." And there were these fugitive officers, and they brought me into the Twin Towers where I was told that I was in ODB's cell.
Oh, no way. It all comes full circle. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you get, how did you get out of that? You had to go to court and shit?
I sat in jail for 5 days waiting for a bail reduction hearing because I didn't have
$1.2 million
The argument was that I had my face tattooed in my back yet, even though the second movie wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
But they were just like, this guy can't really be a flight risk. He can't hide anywhere particularly well.
Right.
I forget how much I had to borrow from my accountant to post the bond, but he did charge me interest.
But did you have to go to court and all that shit?
Yeah. It ended up, I was, I posted bond. I was out on bail, still facing 8 years in prison.
Oh, fuck.
Like, they were, like, I forget which, like, I think it was, like, a 5-year maximum for the obscenity and,
oh, no.
And 3 for the battery. Oh, I don't know what it was, but combined.
I think the stabbing your balls is worse than the eye of the Louisiana law.
Right. I know. And so I'm facing 8 years in prison. I'm out on bail.
Yeah.
And I go flying off to Europe with my Don't Try This at Home tour,
uh-huh.
where I got arrested for international drug smuggling.
Oh, no.
I got arrested for international drug smuggling in Sweden while out on bail for ball stapling.
How did you spend any time in jail?
I spent another 5 days in jail in Sweden.
How did you get out of all these charges?
Well, yeah, I mean, my criminal record is largely the through line of my gnarly comedy special at stevo.com because I was still on probation for my climbing up the crane and blowing up the fireworks thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the opening sequence of my gnarly special, I had the Jackass guys duct tape me to a billboard truck
right.
and hit baseballs at me and then drive me down the highway to the theater,
mm-hmm.
which was wildly illegal. And I was on probation. So that kind of set the tone for like the story of criminal, Steve-O the criminal.
But you got away with it.
Yeah.
How? You said,
I don't know.
Did you go to court? Have you been to court before?
Yeah, I've been to court plenty of times for felony cocaine possession, vandalism.
I gotta get your lawyer and your anesthesiologist.
Yeah, you do. But in any case, if we were over it before, we're definitely over now.
Yeah, fuck.
I wanted to
ask what the stunt you regret. Is there one sentence, like, the stunt you regret the most? Or maybe
Is that, like, on a consequence basis, consequences for me personally mm-hmm. have translated very well to film. So
right.
I'm not going to regret anything based on how much it hurt.
No. That's not what I mean either. Yeah, because people are like, people always ask me, what do you do when a prank goes wrong? And I go, that's all I want a prank to do. Like, I want things to go wrong. Not wrong in like the sense that there was some production failure and the prank didn't get a reaction. But I can tell when people ask that, they're like, what happens when people get pissed, though? I'm like, I don't know. Great footage.
Right.
Like, what do you mean?
Right.
That's not what I meant. I just meant based off that list you showed me when you first sat down, if there was one particular one that you were like,
the basis for me regretting a stunt is when it was just embarrassing and lame. There's the high on the list of I regret. Because I'm such an advocate for animals these days, and very outspoken against SeaWorld, I had to admit how ashamed I am that back in the Wild Boys days, we went to a very SeaWorld-esque place and I rode captive dolphins.
Oh shit.
There's footage of me riding captive dolphins. Mr. Fuck SeaWorld guys out there riding dolphins in captivity. That's tough. There's nothing I regret more than that as far as on camera.
Are the dolphins like not in a good place in that?
Captive dolphins, captive orcas. It's pretty bad.
It's rough. What about that?
Yeah.
Ostriches?
Yeah, like I rode ostriches. I'm not particularly proud of that. Yeah, when you watch me riding the ostriches, it just looks like
the animals are in distress.
It looks like I weigh a little more than they're comfortable. Yeah.
Dude, I can't thank you enough. I could pick your brain all day. That's fucking amazing. You're like the ideal guest for this breakfast. Thank you, Steve-O.
Hey, thank you, bro.
Appreciate it,
with Eric Andre.
Hey, before you go, I want to let you know I got a new book out that I wrote with my friend Dan Curry. It is called Dumb Ideas, a behind-the-scenes expose on making pranks and other stupid creative endeavors and how you can also, too. It's out now, and you can get it anywhere you buy books or audiobooks. Now, here's a special clip from the audiobook just for you.
I always dreamed of being arrested while doing comedy. Then I finally did during season one of The Eric Andre Show. I went to a town hall meeting dressed like a frat boy. While the mayor of this podunk California town called Rancho Cucamonga, no joke, was babbling on about God knows what, I, dressed like a frat boy, ran up to the podium and said, "Hey, y'all, vote for me for class president, and I'll put beer in the water fountains and cameras in the girls' locker rooms. Woo! Go Bobcats!" This half-baked character was inspired by any Porky's loving dipshit from my first high school. Kinda. If you read that last sentence and got the Porky reference, give yourself a pork sandwich, then poke a glory hole in your own shower. That movie didn't age well. This evening town hall meeting was attended by the mayor and 12 sheriffs. These municipal hotshots didn't share my sense of humor and promptly detained me. The sun was setting. The air was thick. I was on a high. The sheriffs escorted me outside of the parking lot and kept asking for my name. I told them my name was John Coltrane. They kept trying to look me up in their cop car laptop, and they would lament, "You're not coming up in the system, Coltrane!" This one cop came up to me and went, "How many drugs are you on?" And I was stone cold sober, so I self-cued the classic sobriety test and started nailing them, still in character. I leaned my head back and started tapping my nose and saying the alphabet backwards flawlessly. ZYXWVUT! Then I walked in a straight line over and over again. These sheriffs were beside themselves. This is the most sober idiot we've ever seen. Finally, the head boss sheriff softened. "I don't want to arrest you, guy, but I just have to arrest you since you made such a scene in front of my boss." Poor guy. He just had to arrest me. I can't imagine the emotional pain and trauma he suffered while cuffing me.
With Eric Andre.
Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast. Executive produced by Han Sani and Olivia Aguilar. Edited and sound designed by Andy Harris. Our art is by Dylan Vanderberg. And if you want to confess to your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode and listen to all my episodes ad-free. Bye!
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late-night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.